Actually, if there was anything to your life, God couldn't do anything with it. You'd be too much in His way. I'm glad I came to the day where I realized I had nothing good to offer Him. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But see, God was able to look past that by grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And give me a revelation that before I decided to choose Him, He chose me.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for just God? Just knowing who He is tonight. Praise His name. 1 Thessalonians 4. It's good to see each one that can make it out tonight. Thank the Lord Jesus. I'm happy to be a Christian.
Amen.
What would we do if we weren't Christians tonight?
In trouble.
Oh my, that's right. And we wouldn't know we were in trouble. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Bible said? They're doing it all around us, walking around poor, wretched, blind, naked, and don't know nothing else about it. But God in His grace has looked down on our little lives, and you don't think you're important, but how in the world do you see the things you do? And you think, it's just this little message, this little revelation. The things that we see, Jesus said kings and prophets and these great men that you reverence, they wanted to see what we see every day. Hallelujah. Now, you don't have to be all quiet on me. I mean, I feel like we need to loosen up a little bit. It is Wednesday, I understand, but it's still a day.
Amen.
The Son of God still rose.
That's right.
That's right. He's still alive.
Amen.
Why? Because He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. 4:15 down to 18. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself, just want that little part there to sink in there. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Acts chapter 1. Pray for my wife in there. You know, it's a lot different now. You got the little one there to try to take care of at the same time. And the boys know that. Oh, yeah. I figured that one out quick. Some things you don't have to teach your children. But it ain't never no good, is it? Everything good, you have to teach them. They come out. Living in sin. We all do, don't we? We all came in the world in sin, shaped in iniquity. Acts 1. And let's just go to verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him. And look at that. A cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. If we're still talking about, and I might even wrap it up tonight, we'll see, but the headstone coming back to the bride of Christ, I'd like to take for a thought tonight, as He left, so He returns. As He left, so He returns. So let's bow our heads as we do here. We've read the Word of God, and I know you believe in it. If you have a need that you want to lift up to the Lord now, behind your hand, go ahead and do that in faith. Lord, I'm not going to some outside source. I'm going right to this Word that I know is the only thing that can help me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for fulfilling Your Word day in and day out and day in and day out. Lord, how many times we might have got sick, Lord, and You even healed us without asking. How many times we could have been in a wreck and You just sent a few angels there to direct us a different way. And how we thank You, Lord, for all the many blessings You've given to us, Lord. We come tonight, first, Lord, forgive us for our unthankfulness. Forgive us, Lord, for complaining and whining about things. Lord, all we have to do is look up and we'll realize that we are a blessed people tonight. We pray, Lord God, that you would just feel welcomed here, that our hearts would be full of thanksgiving and praise to your name. I ask that the word of God would come out of my lips, but into all of our hearts, Lord, that it might energize Christians to live against the darkness of this age. Lord, let the light of the gospel shine in divine healing. Let it shine in salvation. Let it shine in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the powers of God that you promised to the church in this age. Lord, give us wisdom, give us strength, give us revelation more than anything, that we might know your will and how to serve you better. Equip each one. Lord, you know their hearts. You've discerned it already. And I pray, Lord, that you'd grant every Christian their request tonight. We ask it to be so. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Got a little thought tonight, but you know how that goes. It just seems to get up here and just get on talking, and then we're all here just normal time anyhow. But I don't have a lot of material, but I have a thought that came to me. We're just rounding up the school year this year, so I've been trying to get all that done, getting all for the, you know, going on summer break to where I just have one job now. So my dad started saying, man, don't even talk to me. You know, you get all summers off. I was like, well, I guess you're preaching on Wednesday, so you can see if I really got summers off or not. No, but woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. I don't think it, just as much as you being a Christian, that's a full-time job. Oh yeah, it is. And if you don't take it as one, you ain't fulfilling what Christ wanted us to be. It just read what we just read there. He said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he will give you power. And you shall be my witnesses wherever you are. I didn't say you might be my witnesses. If the Holy Ghost is coming to your life, whether good or bad, guess what? You're Christ's witness. That's right. You know, he took us in all of our muck, didn't he? He accepted us. He allowed us to come to him, but he made a way that we didn't have to stay like that. He gave us the blood to wash us clean. Aren't you happy? But why did you come in the first place? Because something called you. Something brought you. And Jesus said it. No man can come to me. God, give us a revelation. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. Hallelujah. Have you come? Have you received? Have you been changed? Amen. Well, then this service might pertain to you a little bit. Glory to God. Well, I was reading here, and you know, as ministers, a lot of times we try to, you know, we got minds too, like everyone else. You think, well, maybe I can do it like this. It'll be really good like this. And you try to, how do you, when any good speaker really would do this, but it's different when you're trying to get inspired. It ain't about good speaking. It's about Holy Ghost speaking. That's right. But you want to save your punchline, right? You want to hold on to it till the end and just boom, there it is. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that tonight. We're just going to have to preach this as the Lord gave it to me. But first, we understand that the message, you know, we all know what it was given for. We're here with hometown folk that I believe you know at least this much. If you don't know a lot, that's all I want to know is the Word. I don't really care if you know a lot. You just need to know about the Word, and the Word is Christ. And the more we listen to the tapes, the more we read the Bible, the more we read the message of the hour, it ought to be expounding the same revelation that we know in our hearts the whole time. How I'm glad that I was able to get a rock-solid revelation before I got into the message as a whole. Ooh, my, I might preach at home, but that's okay. We're just going to go ahead and speak it tonight. I remember thinking, you know, when I would read the seals, to me it was pretty plain. I didn't think it was a complicated matter by any means. I don't think God intended it to be either. Or else why did he spend all that effort to open it up that we might read it just for us to all be confused still? I think a lot of people preach it that way. It's not the revelation of the seven seals. It's here's a big mystery that you're still going to not understand at all. But praise God, God sent a prophet. Well, that's not how a prophet works. If he's a prophet of the Lord, the Word of God comes off the pages and now you can see it. Hallelujah. It's not thus saith William Branham. It's not thus saith Brother Andrew tonight. It's thus saith the Lord. And when the Lord says something, that's the way it's going to be. I believe those seals were opened up. They were the seven thunders that came out. It was the revelation of Christ. It was hidden through the dark ages. They had taken it away from the church. You either were in two camps. You either took the one God and you broke him into three pieces. And then you didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know who to worship to, who to pray to, who to talk to. Or they went the other side and said, God's just one over here. And then you got God being a schizophrenic down, you know, on earth, but yet talking in heaven. And that don't make no sense either. Right. And then where does it leave man? In either case, we're just groveling on the ground trying to figure out why God even loved us in the first place. Right. And how are we ever going to get back? And where do we come from? And where are we going? And what's the way to get there? And the answers were in the Word the whole time. Amen. But without revelation, the Word will kill you. How many knows that? That's the Word itself. Without the Spirit of God to anoint the Word, all it will do is actually kill you. Amen. The same waters that by revelation saved Noah, without revelation, killed the rest of the world. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. This message that's been given to us is a restoration. How many understands that? It is a restoration, which means that there had to have been something already in place. And then it had to have declined. Now, it could have happened at one shot, but we understand that it didn't work that way. It was progressive. And God prophesied it would be that way in the book of Joel. He said the palm worm, the caterpillar, the locust, the cankerworm, they're going to eat this thing away. And if you look there, it isn't four different things. It's all the same thing in a different form. And that was the devil getting into the church through his doctrines. And we understand he typed the church as a tree. He did that. He ate away the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. That's right. And then he ate away the leaves, the joy, the you know, just being a Christian that you could even move anymore. Right. Made you a bunch of branches that just lay there unless there's something real strong coming. God help us to get some leaves on us and put some fruit out there. That's right. Then he took away the bark. You couldn't even tell you're a tree no more. We're drinking, smoking, cussing like everybody else. Then he got all the way down to where he just took the life right out of the church and they didn't have nothing left. But praise God, God always has a witness. That even when it got down to where it looked like nothing was left, there was still a little seed down there. And that bride of Christ, she was still holding on because somebody else was holding on. Somebody else had predestinated her, and it didn't matter what those cankerworms, caterpillars and all that were doing. God had already promised, I will restore. Hallelujah. See, There's a side to God that we need to be careful about. He doesn't mind making the devil look like an idiot. He likes to set up his enemy and watch him fall because he's too stupid to listen to what he wants to say. That's absolutely right. What kind of man writes down his plan thousands of years before he has it or before it comes to be, hands it to his enemy and says, here you go. Study it. Thousands of years. Go ahead. And then still can't outdo the plan of God. He's just showing. Look, God is God. That's the thing. This isn't just somebody. This is the Almighty God, and He's got the whole world in His hands. He can do with it as He pleases. And it's up to the bride of Christ to get a revelation that if He's the Almighty God, it's all in control. We don't need to go figure it out. We don't need to make it happen. That's why Jesus had to tell them right off the bat. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that God has put in His own power. Amen. But there's something you need to worry about. You need power from on high, or you're never going to be ready for it anyways. Come on now, don't nod at me. We need the Holy Ghost now more than we ever did.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just preaching, that's all right. But God promised to restore us. He Matthew 17, I've got it here somewhere. 17:11, Jesus told us how He'd do it. He said, Elias will truly first come, and He will restore all things. We know that Peter picked it up in the book of Acts and said that the restoration of all things, even though they hadn't lost it yet, they knew the Word. That these prophets, I believe Peter was a prophet just like anybody else, they had to say the Word of God. Even if they understood it or not, didn't matter. They would have to say the Word of God. And He said there has to come a restitution of all things before He comes back. But how could you say that when all things have already been restored? It's because God was prophesying that the church would fall, but yet before He could come back, it would be restored again. So when we look at the coming of the Lord and how, if we look at the leaving of the Lord and then work on it the other way, that'll be the coming of the Lord. Are you hearing me now? So let's just look at a few things that happened here. As I said, I'm just going to lose my punchline real quick. The church, well, right here when Jesus, what happened? There was a cloud that took Jesus up, right? The cloud. After that, there were some angels that were proclaiming the message. That's right. After that came a day of Pentecost. Isn't that right? All right, well, there we go. Now let's go the other way. So God has given back a Pentecost. And then He sent some witnesses, some prophets to come tell you, some angels, that's right, to tell you the Word, to say what? The clouds come. And that means Jesus is... Now, I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of that or anything. Don't go off on some tangent. But the point is, the way He left is the way He's already returning. It's upon us. All signs point right back to the Word of God that it's here.
Amen.
And not, I said it. God forgive me. He... And we'll be a little bit more specific here in a second, but I might as well just say it. She.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Praise His name. Thank the Lord. God let the church, we know it was eight and down that way. It started right here. Satan was trying to get into that church right at the get-go to where it wasn't. But 30 years later, and James is saying, look, contend for the faith, you bunch of sissies. They're trying to get into church. Can't you see these devils? Can't you see them getting you off the word? Can't you see you losing joy? Can't you see you losing peace? Can't you see we're getting a little legalistic and we don't know who we're serving anymore? Come on now. Can't you tell that there's no peace in the children of God no more? Can't you look around and see that our worship's gotten a little stale? Can't you see that we can't shout the praises like we did just a few years back? And the church began to fall. We understand that. God knew that, and He sent witnesses to tell Him the whole time. He sent there a Paul, didn't He? He said, get back to the Word. Get back to the Word. The revelation that was given. He was the first messenger, and He was the one that gave the message that was to Israel, now gave it to us. Aren't you grateful for that? That's why He said, He's the prisoner of the Lord for you Gentiles. See, the Jews had it already, but the Gentiles needed a messenger that could go to them. Peter was too busy getting all worked up in his complexes. Isn't that right? He's sitting in Jerusalem watching out for Gentiles and staying with Jews and things. Still saved. Still got the Holy Ghost. Still was given the keys to the kingdom. And He had unlocked the door, but there needed to be, God knew this in His wisdom, He needed a man that couldn't just unlock the door, but that would go out and start finding other ones. That's right, and that's why God went and He didn't get a Matthias. Come on now. He didn't use lots to figure out who's going to be the next apostle. He went Himself. The pillar of fire went and found Him an apostle. And He was killing Christians. And He was putting them in prison. And the thing that He wanted, that God needed this man to build up, He was spending all of His efforts destroying. And God told Ananias, hey, you prophet, come here. I'm going to give you a vision. Ananias had a vision. No, this wasn't nothing. I believe Ananias was a prophet of the Lord too. He went to him and said, Ananias, there's my servant. Go get him. Don't know about that, brother. I don't know about that, Lord. Are you sure? I've heard about this man. He said, yes, that's a chosen vessel. That's my chosen vessel. And we get so wrapped up in things we've done and things we've been. Look, I don't care what you've been. The important thing is, what are you? If you're still living in those things, you need to check up today. That's right, church. We need to get back to the Word of God. But if you know that something's got on the inside and quickened something to where the things of the world, they just don't have that pull. You just hate them. It's just sickening. And when you make a mistake, all you do is just can't hardly take it. You got to figure out how to get this thing right again. And not just something, like I said, it's not legalism. It's the joy of the Lord. It's serving the Lord in sincerity. Hallelujah. So as He left, He's returning now. God allowed the church, He allowed her to be eaten down from a perfect bride of Christ. I believe the Alpha bride and the Omega bride, as in the vision, look the same. So why are we still trying to paint a different image of what the church of God is supposed to look like besides the book of Acts?
Amen.
That's right. And I don't think there was, you know, we think of, you know, we got Peter and Paul and all these. What about what's this? Aquila and Priscilla? What about these others on the side? How about Apollos and his congregation of 12 men?
Right.
A man that was faithful. Look, and the man, if you go look it up, we're just preaching tonight. You go look it up. He was pastor at Ephesus. And he taught diligently the things of John.
Right.
And then when he left off, you see Aquila and Priscilla come get him. And his disciples are off somewhere else over the upper coast of Ephesus. And Paul's going after them. Come on, you go look it up. And Aquila and Priscilla bring Apollos over and said, we're going to obey the Lord more perfectly. You got some good stuff, Apollos, but I'm here to bring you the true revelation of this hour. And they showed it to him. And that messenger of God received it. At the same time, his congregation's over there. 12 men. Look at that. Faithful. That's a faithful servant. He didn't want a big crowd. He wanted to be faithful. You could tell he was sold out to the Word because he didn't resist Aquila and Priscilla. He received the Word. His congregation had learned the same thing. Come on. And when they were over there, and they said, we've never heard of any Holy Ghost. And Paul said, what were you baptized to? It's like, well, our pastor said we need to be baptized like John was. And that would have been right. You know, that's the way we're going to believe it. Brother so-and-so said it ought to be this way. Well, what does the Word say? Don't worry about that. They didn't have that attitude, did they? Why? Because Apollos was a real man of God. And if God If you're a real man of God and you don't know the truth yet, you can't stay that way. God will bring you to truth. So what in the world are we worried about? Well, I don't know if I'm going to see the rapture. I don't know how this is going to happen. I can't figure this out. You need to quit doing all that and just serve the Lord, and He will lead you to what you need to know. And He brought these apostles to, or He brought these disciples of Apollos, of His church, those 12 men from the upper coast of Ephesus, over to who but anyone else besides Paul? And he goes to Paul, the one that was going to the Gentiles, and they said, "Where are you baptized to?" John's baptism said, "Not good enough." And if they would have took a nice personal attachment, he would have kicked out. They'd been gone a long time ago. But the difference was something on the inside said, "Wait, wait, whoa, whoa, what's this Holy Ghost you're talking about? I know I got something good, but this sounds a little bit better." And he said, "Well, where were you baptized to?" He says, "John's baptism." He's like, "Well, John baptized, truly he did, and it was the word. He was baptizing to repentance. But we've got something else now. We've got a baptism that will remit sins, that will take away sins to where they are gone, and then give you the gift of the Holy Ghost." And those Ephesians, those people that understood John's word, knew what that Spirit of God was. It was the thing that came down and filled the Messiah. And they said, that Holy Ghost? That one, if we do this, I'll receive it too. I know what it did through the Son of God. What can it do through me? And they obeyed the word, didn't they? They got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, received the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Oh, I said it again. You know, Mark 16, we'll cast out devils and we'll take deadly things and it won't harm us, and we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and we just kind of blow over, they says, and they'll speak in new tongues. But it's the same promise anyways. It's not an evidence of necessarily receiving the Holy Ghost, but they're speaking in tongues around the Holy Ghost. Yeah, there is. Even the Messiah himself spoke in tongues. Isn't that right? Right up on the cross. Lama Shabaki, however he said that. Hallelujah. So the church, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you received the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad you didn't get on some tangent, but the Holy Spirit showed you what was the Word of God? And as we tried, and maybe in denominations, things to line up Matthew 28:19, and you're going through all these things, and then you just have a prophet of God come on the scene and say, "You don't even need a revelation. Just go back and read the thing." But you know why? It's because the dispensation changed. There's nothing a man can do but surrender to the anointing that God has given. And when the seals were open, then you could just read it. And the day was open that we could just read it and say, "Oh, well, that's, of course that's how you get baptized. Of course I need the Holy Ghost. It's not just a good suggestion. I need to know that God has got into my soul and changed me from death unto life." We think in many denominations that it's even in the message in a way that, you know, if I just say I accept the blood, I'm saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. And that would be true, but you have to call upon the name of the Lord the way the Bible says, which says that no man can do it except he's received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. And then you'll get somebody say, "Well, we're past Pentecost. You don't understand what you're saying. And you're misinterpreting what the prophet was saying." See, we're talking about the restoration. There was a fall, which was the original church was Pentecost. The Pentecost, A.D. whatever, 33. A.D. Pentecost, right? Then the church began to fall down. And we know they took, you know, the Holy Spirit, or the devil spirit, the Antichrist spirit. What did he begin to tell them? "God's not come in flesh anymore." And we think that, oh, really, that's what it was. He got them away from that revelation. And you know what that'll do? It'll strip you of spiritual gifts right now. How am I going to do that? How can I do this? I'm just a man. How can I? Exactly. And you can't do anything now. But if you know that you're a son of God, you say, "Well, of course, God did it. Why can't I?" Amen. Strip that away. And then he went down a few ages and stripped away holiness. We understand it went all the way down. Hallelujah. And then when God began to restore, we know these things, but I just want to go through it. Brother Branham did 1,000 times, so you don't like it. I guess you need to go listen to more tapes and realize he talks about Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, at least every sermon after the seals. Anyways, God began to build the church back up. He gave Luther the justification, and then, you know, they had a little light on it, but then God in our age has opened it up. That's right, to where we can see what it was really all about. You never did it in the first place. Right. Praise God. And he brought the church back up through Luther to justification. Then he brought up to sanctification, which was through Wesley. And then what was after that is what was called Pentecost in this age. That's not the Pentecost we're talking about here. Because he said, "I will restore." Yes. That means we have to have what was back there. And what did they have back there? The original. the original seed, the original revelation of who God was, that you could trail all the way back to Genesis 1. And let us make man in our image. And they got a trinity made up out of that. That's in the message. You understand that? They think when Brother Branham was talking about God and the Logos, that that's pretty much the trinity. But that's not what it was. God manifested himself. The only, even in the spiritual, there's still a seeing there. Because there's a realm beyond even that that only God can see. Nobody else knows nothing about it. That's right. He said God dwells alone in that seventh. And there's no way for you and I to try to figure that out. And it's not given to us anyways to know the times and seasons that God has put in his own hands. We don't even need to know the day of the coming of the Lord, because I am the coming of the Lord. Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
See, there we go. That's how we like preaching. I just go ahead and let the glory of God come down in the place and show you that when God said, "Let us make man," that was all the attributes speaking together in unison. The Logos, which was the Son of God. We understand that, which was Melchizedek in a theophany. But where were you and I?
Right there.
I just don't understand this. We say, yeah, I'm the Word. I'm the Word. Well, what's the Word? The Logos. Well, he is the Logos and I'm the what? What are you then? Exactly. That's the revelation. God created a form that could be seen, that could be worshipped, that had hidden in itself attributes that he could say, let us make man in our image. And he made a man and he gave him a name and he called him Adam. There wasn't anyone else there. He said, let us, and one man showed up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You carnal, that's, you say God, God. He said us, that's plural, and there's only one standing there. Well, that's right, because you ain't got a revelation. You don't understand that this God cannot lie. And that came a day, we understand this man began to be on the earth, and he was naming the animals and doing what God told him to do, be a God on the earth and subdue it. And God began to bring those, and Adam began to notice, hey, there's two giraffes. Hey, there's two elephants. Hey, there's two this, there's two that. How in the world is there only one of me when everything else that's in God's creation that's reflecting God's character has a pair? And God looked down and said, it's not good that man dwells alone. You think God figured that out then? That's how some people think God does things. So, you know what? I did kind of mess that up. I mean, I did make it really good and it was all beautiful, but how did, man, I just overlooked that last little detail. No, it was just showing you that God hides these things from the wise and prudent because he only reveals it to babes such as will learn. That's right. Aren't you glad to be a babe of God tonight? Aren't you glad that you have something in you that can be taught? I'm learning that you can't, and it's almost gone, being even teachable in this age. Much less spiritually, not even naturally anymore. If people, you know, they already got it figured out, they don't need you, they're smarter than you anyways, they can't learn from nothing, and that's just the way our society's built. If you needed it, you'd already have it. There's no one else can help one another. Ain't no point in loving one another because there's no benefit. You're just going to get cheated out of and everything else. And that's why the love of many has waxed cold. And when you begin to do that and live for yourself, you've done left the nature of God, so there's no God left to even benefit from. Amen. A man's beginning to realize, wow, we might have bargained for more than we could handle. You think of thinking of this world, and I don't mean to go on a tangent, but just thinking of the world system the way it is, not being a Christian. Knowing that if they could destroy cities in seconds back in the 40s, what could they do today? To think that these people that are in control of those things have killed people for dimes. That's right. Sold us off for who knows what. Who knows what's already done to this nation as far as we understand. We think we got securities in this. We don't have nothing. But I got a security that's beyond this world. And that world's rules trump all of this world's rules. That's right. But to think that any moment, you know, some little country somewhere could just press a button and that's it. It's gone. All of our hard investments, all that we've put our efforts to, it disappear in a minute. And that's what's going to happen to too many souls. But God, in his wisdom, said, even in the midst of all that, I still got a message I'm sending. I still got a prophet, I'm saying, because I got a church to restore. I got something to bring back to what the original was again. And the way it left is the way it comes back. When it was time for him to go, there's only one person who knew what was going on. That was the Lord himself. I thought you told me you knew the word now. So when it leaves again, when it goes all the way back to its full restoration, there's only one going to know what's going on.
Exactly.
That's the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Let me read you some quotes now. The rapture, 65. Well, then, in Wesley's age, the works that he did testified who he was. In Luther's age, on Reformation, why, sure, it testified who he was. In the days of the Pentecostals, the restoring back of the gifts, the restoration of the gifts, speaking in tongues, casting out devils in the gifts, why, it testified. There was a joke about it. People said when it first raised up, I read books on the history of Pentecost. They said, it can't last long. It'll burn down. It's still burning. Why? It's because you can never put it out. God said it would be there. It's that portion of the word. And no more can you put that out. And no more could you put that out. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. And we're living in that day. Praise be to God. The revelation of the mystery of himself.
Amen.
Yes. Now the rapture is only. The rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride.
Right.
Remember, the Bible said, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living? What promise do we have? There is going to be a rapture. The Bible said there will be, and it'll only be for the elected, the elect lady, the bride in this day that's pulled out the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we understand, Brother Branham, and I'm not going to try to go straight into the rapture. I almost wanted to title this Not Waiting on Rapture Anymore. But I thought people would think that I don't believe in the coming of the Lord physically, which I do. Jesus will come back. We will see him, a physical being that I can go and talk to up in the air. And I'm going to go meet him up. We all are together. The dead in Christ can arise together. We're all going to meet in the air and we will go talk to him.
Right.
I believe in that. If you don't believe in the physical resurrection, you got some other quotes to go find. But I believe that. I believe there's a physical resurrection going to take place. I believe we have glorified bodies that are our natural body purified now, put together with the theophany that makes a glorified body. That's what the prophet taught. I believe that. And I believe that the rapture is on, but it's not done yet, or we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. We'd be in glory. But it did start with the shout. Amen. It's already made its way. The Lord himself is descending. Come on now, the shout has gone forth. We're living in the voice, and one of these days when the trump sounds, the dead in Christ will rise. Come on now, and we will see them. I don't know how long. I'm not here to put days and times and seasons to everything, but I believe just like when he resurrected the first time, they said many of the dead saints arose and they saw them. And they didn't know what it was all about, but they saw them. What does that mean? I don't know. But I believe God will encourage us that way. They say, look, you've believed it for a long time. But look over there. Remember old sister so-and-so?
Right.
And you say, well, how am I going to recognize them? You know, because they're going to be young and beautiful. How in the world did Peter, James, and John know that was Moses and Elijah?
Sure.
Exactly. What do you think it's going to be in the new world? Do you think we're going to have to go up and say, you know, I don't know if I know these people. I mean, are they my brothers or not? No, the Holy Spirit's going to have the preeminence. We're going to be an open channel to revelation. Absolutely. And you are now. Hallelujah. Potentially. But at that time, there's no flesh in the way. There's no demon spirits. It's just constant word flowing all the time. What a glorious thing that we're going to live in one of these days. Praise God. But the rapture is on its way. It's already begun to manifest itself. I believe even some saints that have passed on are part of this rapture. Absolutely. If you watch a lot of saints, and I'm not saying all, but Brother Branham said that the rapture would take place sometime between 6 and 9.
Right.
And I don't like to run off on tangents, but I've seen a lot of saints go between 6 and 9. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, I just believe this message. I don't care anymore. This prophet's got revelation. I don't even have to understand it. He told me I didn't.
That's right.
He said, if you don't understand it, just say what I say, and I'll take the blame for it. Woo, glory.
Amen.
You say, what are we handling here? What are we handling? Do you know one time when they took Brother Branham, what he said about Billy Graham and Oral Roberts? Somebody had taken it and said that he said that they were in Sodom. That they were Sodom and they were lost and everything. He said, you see what they're doing? They're taking the word of God. He said, it's just the same. You take one word out.
Right.
He applied it to the message of the hour. God help us.
Yes, sir.
To not say, well, I know that sound, but I don't know about... No, you leave it alone if you don't understand. Look, God said he sent Malachi 4 to restore, nothing else. And we just need to put our faith in that. And I'm here to tell you, Malachi 4 don't sit on the pages. It comes off and it lives. But see, if you let Satan put that little bit of doubt, it'll destroy all your revelation right there. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I don't have to do that. Maybe maybe you're identifying with that, but I'm here to tell you, God, the Holy Ghost, you need to quit identifying with that and say, I'm not getting in the way. I'm not failing God. God promised that there would be a bride without spot or wrinkle, and if he gave me the Holy Ghost, that means I'm one of them. That's right. And it's time for us to quit down and quit recognizing ourselves as our flesh, because we're not. Amen. We've been changed. That's right. We've been quickened. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
Now, it's the same as it was then. You know, they didn't. We've got men here standing this before the Holy Ghost was given. They're just looking up to heaven. They're just staring up. They just watched a man get taken up with a cloud and float off. And all they got to do is stand there and look at it. Wow, wasn't that something?
Yeah.
Huh. So much that they didn't recognize two angels standing there.
Right.
They said, hey, what are you gazing at? Whoa, what's going on? Yeah, as you've seen him left, so he will return. And we act like that won't happen in this day.
Oh, my.
People thinking they know what the coming of the Lord is. And they're staring way off somewhere, just gazing. Not knowing that there's angels standing around, messengers of God,
right,
shouting, what are you gazing for? That time was as he left, so he'll come again. This is, hey, he's here.
Uh-huh.
Get ready. Go yell to meet him. And instead of just gazing at this guy, well, I guess if I'm supposed to go, I'll go. That ain't the bride now. She's got something that gets her ready to go.
Amen.
That's right. She's not just we say look up. What do we mean by that? Do we mean look up in the sky? Do you know, there's people probably wake up every day looking up in the sky for Jesus to come back. See, that's not the revelation. The revelation is look at my revelation out of this world. That if he's coming to my door.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to go and he's going to take me and bring me where he is. That's right. I'm not going to go find him. He'll take me where he is.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hopefully I'm not talking to myself, but this thing, that's the point, is it happened in such a way that it was so simple they couldn't even catch what was going on.
Right.
They couldn't catch that. Wait a minute. The atonement's going up to the throne to stand for us?
Yes,
to way we don't have to bear our sins anymore?
Amen.
This is the most glorious thing that's ever happened. All they could do is, that's it. Hallelujah. But then when the Holy Ghost came, come on now, revelation began to strike and they went flying everywhere trying to tell, get the Holy Ghost, get this. God has brought us back where we ought to be. And God has sent a shout. How many can say amen? And it's waking the bride, but the bride's to have a voice that's saying what the shout said in the power of God, in the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Now, don't get taken off. Stay on the Word of God. That God, every single time, does things in a way, as we just read there, that the rapture, only the bride is going to know what happened. How does he have to do it to where only the bride knows what's going on?
Oh my.
It's got to come in a way, first, that wouldn't be obvious, not to a spiritual mind now. It'll be very obvious to a spiritual mind. Obvious to a carnal mind. Obvious to something that's logical. And that you can reason out and say, oh, of course, if I was the Lord and I was coming back, I'd do it that way. No, you're not going to be able to figure out what day it is, which I still don't know why they're still fussing about that, trying to get that figured out. It doesn't mean you're not going to figure it out. They're going to figure out what day it is. We just read that even the times and the seasons and all these things, we just leave in the hand of the Lord. Now, he's done, sent a prophet to tell us what season we're in.
Right.
See, that was what God has kept in his own power was what he said when Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels, not even the Son, only the Father.
Yeah.
That's something that he kept in his own power. Why? Because if we knew the day, we'd get it all figured out and we'd miss it.
Yeah.
We could know the day, the time, the hour, but you understand that the revelation is what will get you in it. None of those things.
Right.
Even if they figure out what day it is, do they got the Holy Ghost to be ready? No. They're too busy trying to study it theologically and not getting the word on the inside. That's right. Let me read you a few quotes here. God's hidden simplicity. He says, that's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he done, but they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. See, and then they look forward and see a great thing coming that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's already happening right around them. And it's so simple that they don't know it, see? Let me read you. Let me skip down here a little bit. Jesus said he's already come and you didn't know it, but he's done just what the Scripture said he would do. He restored them, you all that received me and believed on me. He done exactly what the Scripture said he'd do, and they did to him what the Scripture said they would do. He's already come and you didn't know it. Are you ready? I want to shock you a little bit. The rapture will be the same way. It'll be so simple. No doubt it'll be likewise till the rapture will come one of these days and nobody will know nothing about it. Now don't get up now. Just study just a minute. I'm sure closing enough. The rapture will come in such a simple way till the judgments will fall and they'll see the Son of Man. They'll say, wasn't we supposed to have such and such? Wasn't there supposed to be Elias sent to us? Wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? Jesus will say, it's already happened and you didn't know it. God in simplicity. So we look at these things that we know so well. We know the message of the hour. We know 1950 in Houston, Texas, God came down and let the pillar of fire be taken of in a picture. We know that in 64 that the pillar of fire was taken again on Brother Branham's shoulder. We know that there was supernatural light there. I forget what year this one was, the four pillars, and this one's light and the other three are. And there was another one, he's in a meeting. The pillar of fire is shining in the window and nobody even saw it. It was the same in Paul's day. Paul saw Jesus Christ, the pillar of fire, so much that it blinded his physical eyes.
Right. Amen.
Didn't bother nobody else around him.
Right.
Nobody else knew what was going on. But Paul was so convinced that he went to a city and sat down blind and didn't eat or drink for 3 days because he was so convinced of the voice that he heard. So convinced of the God that he saw. Are we that convinced about this message? That when we see these things, that 1963, God sent his face on the skies. That he opened up the seals to us. Have we become lulled away that we don't understand the season that we live in anymore? God help us, because it's here. If the last thing that happened before Christ went up was a cloud that took him up, where are we at in time, friends? Where are we at? Why was Brother Branham saying before the cloud came, before the seals were open, he said, look, what time is it, sirs? Because even though the prophet didn't understand what was going on necessarily, he did know that this was a change and that this was going to be important and that something is fixing to happen. And if we don't know what it is, we're going to be in trouble. And people think that you're running off on tangents or you're getting out of the Word, and it's absolutely the Scriptures. When the angel came down in Revelation 10, what was he clothed with? I think we need to read it. Let's go do that. Revelation 10. Praise his name. You love the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Okay? And a rainbow was about his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. See, this is so plain, isn't it? The seven thunders went forth when the angel came down. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. Why? Because you got to remember how the book of Revelation was written. John was brought into the Lord's day. Hallelujah. He wasn't just seeing things. He was literally taken from where he was and transported 2,000 years later to see things. Actually, the whole through. He was transported all through time to the rest of the church. That's right. He went through the church ages and began to see the tribulation all the way. But then he gets here and he says, when the seven thunders uttered, I was going to write down because that's what the angel told me to do.
Right.
He knew what it was going to be. He heard it.
Right.
And he saw us sitting here 50 years later. I believe that. You might call me crazy, but he saw it and he was going to write it down. I didn't say he necessarily understood it. You know, the revelation was for this hour, but he didn't know enough to write it down. But then we understand. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, that are in the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, don't run off on a tangent on that, but that was showing that the day of waiting for this revelation was done.
Yes.
He said, don't let there be any more time for this. We're bringing it.
Right.
Now, don't let me get... Time has an end as well. We understand time was created by God. It will be done away with after the millennium. We'll go into a new heavens, new earth. It'll be eternal. I don't know what that means, but praise God, I want to be there.
Yes, I do.
Amen. Hallelujah. And if we would stop there, we'd say, well, bless God. I mean, it's going to happen one of these days. And, you know, we'll just be standing one day, and all of a sudden we'll all look to the east somewhere. There'll be this mighty angel come down. Hopefully I'm close enough to see him. I mean, how big has he got to be so that we all see him, you know? Amen. Come on. So we get these little carnal things, and we start running off wondering why we don't know what's going on. But that's not what happened, because there's Revelations 10:7 here.
Right.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Why did the angel have the book open if the mystery was still sealed when the seventh angel was sounding? It could not be that way. The book had to be open, or how could the seventh angel shout forth the mystery of God? But I thank God for revelation tonight that I know this seventh messenger wasn't bringing his own voice, but God put the angel, put the voice in the prophet.
Amen.
And said, here are the seals that come from the Lamb. Look, Brother Ram didn't open them. The Lamb did, but he sent the seventh angel to speak it.
Amen.
Not even John could write it down, but this man was supposed to speak it.
Right.
That's right. And there was a group that right after this received it.
Amen.
And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open. Grab that revelation. Get it for yourself. And that's why the voice of even the ministry, not mine, but the whole ministry of the Bride of Christ, is saying, you individually, go get this.
Amen.
Go take it. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God.
Yes.
You were there from the foundation of the world. God has not left you blind. He's pulled the scales off. He's opened the book, and your name is written.
Amen.
Not written with a pencil that can be erased, but it's written with the bloody, bloody word, love of God's blood, that puts your name on there. And it's sealed. You can't take it off.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
My Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you could get a church to grasp this, it'd be all you need. That's why when Paul came to the Ephesians, he didn't have to worry about teaching gifts and church orders and all this stuff, because they had this. They were walking in this revelation, and they could be told things. I talk about a man that loves his wife and a wife loves her husband, but I'm really talking about Christ in the church. As a woman was taken from man, so are we God's bones.
Amen.
So are we God's flesh. So are we bone of his bone, body of his body. I speak a great mystery. The same mystery that the seventh angel was prophesied to tell us again when they would take it away from the church way back there in Ephesus. God promised, I'll send it again at the end. And he's fulfilled it.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Which brings me to this quote, which has got a very fitting title. Recognizing your day and its message. Aren't you glad we've got finally past, at least in the message, that we're just our sisters just wear dresses and don't cut their hair, and our guys, you know, stop cussing. And that's what most of us walked in for a while. And so at least we cleaned up, praise God, but I don't really know what it's all about. Aren't you glad that God has opened it up to us, even individually? What was this all about? Why do I do this? Why do I clean up? Why can't I help but get this dirt out of my life? Why can't I help but raise my hands and praise the Lord and speak in tongues and act like a fool in front of everybody else? Why? Because there's something on the inside. There's something predestinated from the foundation of the world that remembers. There's something in me that remembers what happened before the foundation.
Yes.
When we were shouting for joy. And said, I can't stay this way no more. And it burst out and started shouting for joy. And God gave you the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Recognizing your day and its message. 8:64 says this. What time is it, brother? What time is it, minister? Do you see the time of the day and the sign you're living under? Can you understand it? Do you see it? Everywhere now, there's no revival. Everybody's complaining. Ministers crying. I was reading one of the outstanding papers that comes here to the church, a very fine paper. And I know the editor and I know the people, and they're godly people, very fine. Brother, Sister Moore of the Herald of His Coming. One of the finest papers on the field, Herald of His Coming. But they hardly will print anything unless it's about fast, pray, sound a trumpet. Get how many reads it, you know? You see it all the time. Fast, pray. It's all you hear. Fast, pray. We're going to have a great breaking of the day. There's a great thing going to happen. All of you, pray. We're not too late yet. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They think the sun's not shining. Come on, they want something to break the night away and let light come again. He said, what do they want? Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing that there will be awakening. They're good people. Why is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. See, by being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. That's what's making them feel that way. They know something is supposed to happen, but see, they're looking for it way off in the future to come when it's already happened right by you. They think of a mighty angel coming and shouting seven thunders. Well, how in the world are we going to miss that? Because he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. How many people in the days of Jesus Christ on earth heard his physical voice but never repented of their sins? You know, the most foolish man in the world was the one that, you know, I forget what the thing was. Simon went and said, go get me Jesus. And he went, and he was so busy about worrying about a sinner master of his, that he said, I found him. And he just drug him right to the master and never asked for forgiveness. Never wanted to know what it was all about. How many people have done that with this word? They've taken it as an idea and said, well, that's nice. You know, I'll go tell my buddies and all this thing, but never got into it to figure out what it was. Figure out why they don't have peace when everybody else seems to be happy. That's, come on, that'll show you. If you don't have the results of the Word of God, you yourself have not come in yet. Come on now, don't give me that stare. Don't get all quiet on me. It's the Word or it isn't the Word. Either these signs follow you that believe or they do not. And it's time to check up all of us to say, is the dark doors really ready to go? Is the pitch really on the door? And if you are predestinated, you'll be ready. And you'll work till Jesus comes. We could go right on through all the titles, you know, that we've talked about here recent, but we don't need to wait for something to happen. God's waiting on us to believe what's already happened.
Amen.
Once we get a group of people, and I believe we're getting there, and I believe it's here now. I'm not putting off in the future either. If you get a revelation, I don't care if I don't have it. Let me make sure you understand something. God is getting His bride ready no matter who's getting ready. The bride is getting ready. If God can't find a minister to do it, He'll find a housewife somewhere that'll believe this word and live it to such a way that it'll speak more than any preacher can say it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So how can that be? Look, you can have the word of the Lord come to you just the same. Amen. I don't believe in preaching behind the pulpit. And you all know this stuff. Don't let those spirits tell you that kind of stuff. But if the Holy Spirit anoints you out there, sister, sure, you're the bride.
That's right.
Absolutely right. You have a right to the promises of God, and you can speak it just the same as anyone.
Amen.
Now let me find out. Let me finish this here. They're looking way off in the future to come when it's already happened right by you. That's the same things they did in the days of old. They was believing in a coming Messiah. They believed that there would be a forerunner come, but it was right on them and they didn't know it. They didn't recognize it. They believed there would come a forerunner and would forerun the Messiah, and they cut his head off.
Uh-huh.
Think of that for a minute. The people that believed the Messiah, these weren't heathens, these were Jews that believed the Bible that we're reading, that read Isaiah and said there's going to come a messenger who's going to make the way straight so we can see the Messiah. And they took the very man and made sure he was set up to where he could die. Come on, Herod was a Jew. Do you understand that? Yes, they were. They were all of them. They were Jews. They were supposed to be serving the true living God. And instead, they took the true living God and crucified him. That's right. After they killed the messenger, they killed the message.
That's right.
And they're doing the same thing in this age. Why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Brother Branham says it better than anyone, so I'm just going to read it. They believed there would come a forerunner that would forerun the Messiah, and they cut his head off and killed their Messiah because it was prophesied that they would be blinded. Hosea said so. And the same spirit that spoke through Hosea spoke through John and said the church in the last days would be naked and blind and would put him outside of the church. They failed to see those prophecies fulfill. But being in there, they recognize that something has got to happen. They just don't get it. They don't realize it. How much like the Jews of old times, blind Laodicea, rich theology, hostile with the church, hostile towards the message. Yes. Look how hostile those Jews was with John. Look how hostile they were with Jesus. When he was the very one that they claimed that they were looking for. And it's happened again in our day. Why? Because as the church fell down, as Christ left, so is he returning. And it has to follow the same pattern. God does not make mistakes. The way he does things always stay the same. And Brother Branham said that was the keynote where he wrote the seven church ages, is that God could not change in his decision making. So when he brought his forerunner in a way that the people who were supposed to receive him killed him and prostitutes on the streets. Come on now. Beggars out there, lawyers that were cheating and stealing, they saw it and they repented. And they got in sackcloth and they went in the river and got baptized by John, to where Jesus could say, "You blind leaders of the blind, the publicans and sinners will go in before you."
That's right.
Why? Because they believed the word. They believed the preaching of John. And then when Jesus came, hallelujah, he's got people that he went to. He went to the synagogues and preached. He was able to say, this day this scripture is fulfilled. But still one day the Messiah woke up and said, I have a need to go by Samaria. Why? Because there was a predestinated prostitute that had been married 5 times, kicked out of the message already. Glory to God. They can kick you out. They can kick me out. But they can't get us out of the body. I'm in Christ. I'm sealed in there. And I've got a revelation of predestination. And that's why you say, well, how can you be fearless? They said the same thing to Brother Branham. And I said, the same Holy Ghost that's on the prophet, that was on the prophet, that was in the Messiah, is in me. It's in every born again Christian. And we ought to be fearless with this message, because God has never failed to back it up. We're not here looking for the Messiah to come. The Messiah has returned in the form of the bride.
Amen.
And we are to be a part of that until the day when we just get a new body.
Amen.
That's all we need. I know people got their doctrines on that too, but I believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost regenerates the soul. There's nothing else God needs to do to our souls. It's good. It's sealed off. It's ready to go. The Bible says also that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now God allows in this age, we still got that worldly spirit likes to come by, but you just keep yielding to the Spirit of God in you, that you are joined to the Lord, and it will defeat that other thing all the time.
Amen.
And for it to be sinful, for you to be tempted by your spirit, that means that the Messiah was sinful as well. What else was telling him to try to jump off the building and things? Come on now. What was the temptation if he was just at theophany? There wouldn't have been none. You didn't see the devil coming after Melchizedek. No, you didn't. He didn't step foot near him. He knew better than that. He said, I already done tried that. But you got to remember, the devil never believed that Jesus Christ was really the Son of God. Why? Because he was just so humble. He just couldn't get his mind around it, that the same Almighty God that kicked me out of heaven is let me push them around down here?
Right.
How does that work? And they're saying the same thing. You think you're the bride of Christ? You? What has God done through you? You know, look at our churches. Look what we've done. Look how we've missionaried and we've done all these great things and these great signs and all these, but there ain't a lick of truth behind it. That's the problem, is there's no life of God behind it. Look, you can graft all the branches you want in. You can produce all the false fruit you want. That ain't what God wants. He wants the original. If that was an orange tree, God's wanting orange. And everything in life, I don't care. They have tried and tried. Man has done it with every single thing in this world to try to find a better way than the way it was established when God did it. And he's proven himself wrong every single time. He says, well, we'll make a grape and we'll do this too. It'll be better for you. And it kills us by the thousands. They've done it with everything. Why? Because they always think that they can outsmart God. But it just goes to show they have missed something that's happened. because we don't feel that way about it. Why? Revelation struck us. And we said, wait, we know the one true living God, and he doesn't make mistakes. When he made an apple tree, he knew what he was doing. And when he made a son of God, and he put that seed in Laodicea,
amen,
50 years after the prophet was gone, he knew what he was doing.
Amen.
Glory to God. And put you under a pastor that's 28 years old. Come on now. It ain't us doing figuring this out. It ain't us holding on. God in his wisdom has provided it in the way that will work.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And we're watching all these signs happen. We're watching what we just read, that they're getting hostile towards the message. They're not just saying it's not right. They're hostile. They hate it. And they won't kill because they're, you know, kind of too big of sissies in this age anyways, but they'll kill your reputation. Why do you think the internet's become such a thing? Because that's the way that God, that Satan figured out he could get the most murders done.
Right.
You only can get so much done with swords and staves. But my, you get a few keyboards going.
Uh-huh.
And you can ruin people by the millions. All you got to do is get, Brother Turok, nice following. And you put on one, you know, whatever, blog post or Twitter thing or whatever they call those stuff. You put one of those on there and it'll tell you 50 million reached.
Yep.
And it would be great to use that for the glory of God. But we found out in this age, people aren't interested in what God's got to say anymore. And I'm not throwing TV, I'm throwing TV and cable and all that nonsense of the world, but using TVs and videos and internet and things to spread the gospel, I thank God that we have those abilities. I thank God to be able to search the message a lot easier than what we had to 50 years ago, flipping through books all day. But sometimes I think we've leaned on the arm of technology a little too much, that way we don't hear the Spirit no more. We used to be able to read one message and get what was out of it. Now we're just picking off little things and can't even get a full meal.
Right. Yep.
That's where we've got false doctrines. If you want to really look it out, you go find a quote. And usually what they built their false doctrine on is on one quote where you never read the rest of the message.
Right.
Like, what is this? And I'm just going to call names. You guys, you all forgive me if I don't. I feel like I can. But there's a man in Dayton called Don Parnell who claims that Brother Branham came back, I think it was in 2003 or something, and came back and gave him a revelation. And in 8 pages of whatever he had come up with, he completely contradicted 1,200 sermons from the prophet. So how does he come back and say things completely contrary to what the prophet said in the first place? It just goes to show there's something missing. And look, Paul didn't, he said that could happen. Look, Satan's not dumb. He can disguise himself any way he wants to. He disguised himself as an angel light. That's why Paul warned the Galatians, if an angel from heaven even says anything different, let him be accursed. If I say anything different, if I backslide and leave the message, you can still rest assured you can come back to this, because it was the truth. Paul had known. He was so inspired when he wrote down that revelation. He had seen it in such a way that even if he tried to deny it later on, he still knew in his heart it's right. That's it. That's thus saith the Lord. I don't care what anybody says, anyone does. It will be there. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still reading a letter that he wrote to somebody in prison because he was so convinced that it was the Word of God.
Amen.
And why did God allow technology? I believe it's so we could have the prophet on tape.
Right. Amen. Exactly right.
That's it. Yep. You know, I didn't get saved by no Facebook post. Come on now. We think we're missionaries because we share something for the week, and then we don't pray. We don't care about our neighbors. And that's what I'm saying. That's all fine. It's just like what Jesus said. He said you tithe on cunnum and cinnamon and all stuff, but you forget the weighty matters. You forget about just being sensible and kind and judgment and equity. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing in this age. We've tried to go off on these things and do all these great works. It just goes to show you don't remember what the prophet said. When those seals are open, when the bride begins to realize who she is, the world won't know nothing about it.
Right.
When the rapture that the message came to bring forth through the shout, when it begins to manifest and when the trump of God sounds, there's only one group going to know anything about it. That's the bride and whoever else might be standing around when they disappear.
Right. Yep.
God always has a witness. There'll be some that know. God have mercy. Could you imagine? But here's the sad part is we know that that's going to happen. And you can think that's, oh, the Baptist, the Presbyterian. And I feel for those people, too. They're human beings. Like, we don't want to get to that place. But what's the saddest part? When people that sat in a message church for 40, 50 years, but never got it. Never got it on the inside. They just sat there and went with the flow and just said, well, I believe God sent a prophet, but never got the true life of God, and they never had a minister to tell them the truth that they weren't ready. Because they'd rather just pat them on the back and say, well, you're just a good old brother. I had people do that to me. God have mercy. I'm trying to close. I didn't plan on going this stuff, but God knows what to say and when to say it. I met a minister one time because I had a girl I was wanting to talk to from his church, and Dad was there actually with me. I believe that, so we'd have two or three witnesses later on when this happened. And we began to ask questions about her, and Dad, I think he might have been the one, I can't remember now, but I'm pretty sure, he asked, does she have the Holy Ghost? And I guess we both should have probably thought by his response that I shouldn't be talking to this girl. But, you know, you learn things. Isn't that right? And he said, well, I'll tell you what, you know, her dad's a deacon in my church, and they're good people, and I think you'll be all right.
What he said?
That's right. That's almost verbatim what he said. And now, because I can almost see it in my head again. And you go back and say, you big sissy of a preacher. What kind of man are you? See, I didn't praise him for not talking her down and all that stuff. I rebuke him for not telling me the truth as a son of God. And look, guess what? That girl ain't serving the Lord. She's out, got married some worldly guy, got her hair chopped off and everything else, was living for him before they were married and everything else. Thank God he didn't let me make a mistake like that. Why was that? You understand why? It's because God had a gift in my life to help the bride of Christ. I know that for a fact. That's the say of the Lord as far as I'm concerned in my life. That the only reason God even protected me is because there was a gift in my life. There was another girl I'd been with. I spent the night at her house. We never had relations somehow. The second we broke up, she went and moved in with some guy. Why? Why did God allow that to happen? I don't mean to be so vague or so specific, but I want you to understand, I know the grace of God. I know. And look, I was trying to go to a church at that time. But I knew better. I'm glad I was told the truth and didn't believe a lie, that I could just live like that and it would just be okay as long as I come to church. I knew down on the inside, I've been taught right out of the scriptures that that's not right. You need born again.
Amen.
And that's one thing I never did do. I never did claim to have the Holy Ghost till I got it. I didn't lie about it. I knew I didn't have it. You say, how? Because the life I was living wasn't reflecting what I know the Word said it would.
Amen.
But one day, oh, glory to God, when I got serious with God because He was serious with me and He was tired of looking at that boy running away, He said, come here, I need to use you. Why don't I get down here? You see, I didn't go searching God. He made me get on my knees because He was searching me. He made me cry out, God, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost today, I'm not doing anything. I'm not getting up. I'm not even talking to nobody. I need it today, because if I don't get it, I'm going to go right back to that pool of sin I was in.
Amen.
Be a twofold child of hell more than you were at the start. And most people have settled, and Satan has taken them and done that to them because they wouldn't surrender some idea, some doctrine, some thing in their life. Hallelujah, and I thank God that I was able to do that by the Spirit of God, and so are you. Don't let the devil tell you you didn't.
Amen.
Everyone I believe in here that I can see has got the Holy Ghost. I believe that with all my heart, but you got to know it.
Amen.
That's right. You can't base it off my word. I didn't base it on no preacher. I knew when I got it. Because it was something different. Like Brother Branham that was leading that one woman there, I think it was in the bar, leading her to the Holy Ghost, and she said, I can't remember, I'm mixing up two stories, but this lady there, she said, I always lose my mind and I do these crazy things. And Brother Branham said, I don't mean to make you mad or anything, but do you know that was the devil? And she said, I always believed it was the devil. And he's like, well, we need to get down and let's pray. And he led her prayer, and she was real sincere and things, and they got done and they got up, and she said, look, I vow today, Brother Branham, that I'm going to live right. I'm not going to do them drugs and alcohol no more. And Brother Branham said, look, sister, no, you ain't ready yet. You done turn those new pages all the time. That ain't what we need. So we got down. He said, we got down and prayed, and I prayed with her too, and then something happened.
Amen.
And then she got up and said, Brother Branham, I ain't never felt like this in my whole life. See, that's the difference. It's not something that you imagine. It's something that you know. And there's no way to explain it. There's no point in trying. There's no point in trying to prove it. If you want it to be proved, let it live. It'll prove whether you got the Holy Ghost by the life that lives out of you automatically. Not a bunch of put on, but something that loves coming to church.
Amen.
Something that loves praising the Lord. If you want to help the song leader, just praise. You ain't got to do nothing else. You ain't got to be fancy about it. Just praise the Lord. The song leader appreciate that. Why? Because it shows that you're interested.
Amen.
That's right. You're not putting on a put on. You want a preacher to know that you love the word? Well, say amen to it and praise the Lord and thank God for it. It'll make it a lot easier because why? Your actions speak louder than your words. And here we are. You say, I believe a message. I believe the bride's here. If you do, it'll create an action in you. It'll begin to stir because you will realize that it's not God just saying that hypothetically. It is to me. Amen. I am the manifestation amen. Of that word. And when I see God begin to appear, and I'm just going to quote one scripture, but when Paul said it, he'll give a crown of righteousness to who? Who's he going to give it to? Those that love his appearing.
Amen.
And people that aren't satisfied with what God has done, do you understand that you are counting yourself unworthy of that crown of righteousness? When you begin to bicker and complain and say, well, this message wasn't good enough. This preacher's this. This church is that. Everything else. And if it was really a prophet of God, it would have went this way. When you begin to do those things, you're not loving his appearing because he has appeared. See, everybody thinks when Christ will appear, it'll be all hunky-dory. Isn't that what the disciples thought? Sure, I'll come with Jesus. After falling for a while, like, man, kind of bargained for more than we thought. To where Peter said, Lord, we've left husband, wife, I mean, we've left everything to come follow you. We've left families and nations and everything. Jesus said, come on, boy. Look, I know you've left some, but you will receive first eternal life. But even in this life, I'm going to give you 100 times. So quit acting like you did a big sacrifice. God help us to not get that kind of attitude either. Look, you didn't drop down out of corridors of heaven by your own will, come down and become a human, suffer your entire life so you could go to a cross and die for others. But our Messiah did.
Amen.
He did it for us without asking us, and I'm so grateful. Why? Because he saw the Word of God in this age that I've got to have my bride ready again, and if the atonement's not there, it can't be ready. If the Holy Ghost ain't there, it can't be ready. But I will restore, saith the Lord. And not somebody else. I will restore. The Lord himself will descend with the shout, with the voice, and then when the trump of God sounds, we understand. We'll go meet him in there. Let's stand together. Do you love his appearing?
Yes.
Do you love the word of God in your midst? Do you just,
yes.
Oh, I just want to relish in it a little bit. Hallelujah. I think we can just praise tonight. Can we just worship him? You happy?
Yes.
You happy? You got some strength to praise the Lord and Laodicea? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know normally I like to end solemnly and ask for prayer and things, but I want to challenge you tonight. How many knows what the Bible says? He inhabits the praise of his people.
That's right.
How many knows if God comes on the scene, it don't matter what sickness it is, what depression, what devil, it's going to have to leave.
Amen.
Right. Can I share, brother? Is that all right? What you saw the other day? Brother Trevor was here. Well, I think it was on Saturday night. And he got, this world's not my home is what I want to sing. 381. And I remember getting towards the end of the service and I said, look, you know, and I always like to warn the people because they don't think to understand that the devil's right there waiting on you. And he's even in service. When the Holy Ghost anoints, though, he can't get nowhere near that.
That's right.
That's right. And Brother Dan said he saw that black figure over here trying to get it, just kind of looking around, but it never got anywhere close. And then I believe I said that at least somewhere around there saying, look, he can't get close here because the Holy Spirit's here now. But then he eventually left. Why? Because he couldn't find nobody to get in.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I think we ought to be. He said, well, I didn't see that. But do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe it? Then you're just as privileged as anyone else. You're actually more privileged.
Right.
Blessed is he that doesn't see and yet will still believe. Hallelujah.
Right.
Some of you have seen the cloud in here. Some of you have seen the pillar of fire. Come on now. Some of you have seen these things even at your home and things. And we're privileged people to see those things. But even if you haven't, even if you don't see it now, even if you don't feel it now, do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe now we're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ
Amen.
Jesus? Do you believe that there's an anointing that's so beyond anything that this world can ever do, that the devil's already defeated? As
yes.
you sit there and try to doubt the word and have all these things, that's already long defeated. Long time ago, when he tries to bring your sins back that you did before, that's already been defeated.
Amen.
Why? Because we've noticed something. The bride has been awakened.
Yes.
And I'm the bride.
Amen.
So I'm awakened.
Right.
So I got something I want to praise it for. So let's do that. You all know the song, The World's Not My Home. I'm just a passing through. Can we sing that tonight? Amen. Let's go ahead, Dad. You're going to have to.
This world is not my
home. Come on, I was worshiping.
I'm just a passing through. My treasures are in love, somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open.
If I can figure this out. Just leave it right there on G for a minute. It's just choruses. Y'all be able to pick up on it. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. You're grateful for peace.
I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river.
I got love like an ocean.
And I got love like an ocean.